Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is a bonus episode with Don Wetrick. Hi there, my name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with Don Wetrick, we explore a number of interesting topics like where is the economy going? It's okay to admit when you don't know. And the themes Don has learned from extremely successful entrepreneurs. Today's podcast upgrade is Steps to Creating a Successful Innovation Day. You can download it at betterleadersbetterschools.com/Don-Wetrick or click the podcast upgrade link in the show notes page. Thanks for spending some time with me listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we jump into the episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. I'd like to share an incredible free resource for the better leaders that listen to this podcast. It's the top 10 fundraising ideas for 2018, and that's available at schoolzonepodcast.com. And just like the title says, you'll get the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 when you download it at schoolzonepodcast.com. Well, hey there, better leaders. I'm joined for the second time with Don Wetrick. He was a guest on episode 17, way back when this podcast was just a baby. It was still just a dream, and it's turned into so much more. And Don, I'm so excited to have you here. A little bit about Don. He is the innovation coordinator at Noblesville High School and is the author of Pure Genius, Building a Culture of Innovation and Taking 20% Time to the Next Level. Wetrick has worked as a middle school and high school teacher, educational and innovation consultant, CEO, and podcast host, which gives you bonus points with me, buddy. He's also the founder of Started Up, an organization dedicated to help transform the school culture toward innovation and enable student-led entrepreneurship. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, man. I'm excited to be on, for sure.
So, you know, wow, back episode 17, it's probably still 2015 at that point, and I'm pretty sure Started Up podcast hadn't launched yet.
No, it hadn't, no.
But I think that's where I want to begin for folks that, if for some reason they're not aware of all the amazing work you're doing, tell us the story of starting Started Up.
Yeah. So I guess the origin story is that we had a class that we had started that was kind of focusing on innovation and entrepreneurship. And we kept getting calls of, hey, we should start something at our school. And so we kind of got into the working with schools kind of thing. And it was kind of frustrating because schools, they take 2 to 5 years to change anything. And so I still do work with schools, and I'm always humbled and honored when they want to have me in the building. But again, the hard part was them making the pivot faster. And that was kind of a challenge. And so the other thing that kind of grew out of this was then the podcast, the Started Up podcast. And essentially what that was, it was kind of funny. We were interviewing people in class. I have a class called Innovation and Open Source Learning. And it's a class that should be in every high school in America, period. If not, well, everywhere in the world. So we started interviewing people, and then one day we had like the option to, we interviewed Tim Ferriss for like 2 hours, which price-wise is really expensive if you had him out. And so one of my kids was like, are we recording these? And I was like, yeah, actually I did. And he's like, you should put that as a podcast. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, we're interviewing people in the classroom. Like Jocko Willink was right after that. And we're like, why aren't we doing a podcast? Because our kind of Mount Rushmore of coolness is usually entrepreneurs because they think like my innovation class kids, you know, we learn by doing, we do trial and error, we do A/B testing, we accept failure, things like that. And so we're like, you know what, I'm going to start doing that. So instead of just having them talk to just the students sometimes, and actually a couple of episodes, you can hear my students in the background, but I was doing the podcast for other educators because most educators didn't know who Tim Ferriss was. And I couldn't believe that. They didn't know who Peter Diamandis was. They didn't know who Tina Seelig was. And so I was like, seriously? And then a friend of mine said, you know, stop what you're doing with Start It Up and put all of your eggs right now in the podcasting basket for a while, because you're going to get so much credibility built that way. And at first it bugged me, because I've been in the innovation space, I'm just going to say, longer than anybody in ed. And I say that loosely. There's a couple people. No, actually there are. Anyway, I've been at it for a long time, right? And so, like, I thought what I was doing is great, but if Daniel Pink says what I'm doing is great, then, oh, okay, then now you're serious. So it was a credibility boost for sure, but it was also just a way to let other educators, like, hear the way these guys think.
Yeah.
And it was also kind of like a warning. You know, like, Daniel Pink's first book was like, it's coming true. You know, the whole free agent nation thing that we're all going to be in, you know, not all, that we're going to be a huge section of freelance and gig economy. Like, these things are coming true. And so I hate the word thought leaders, but having these people on that have a really good take on entrepreneurialism, they have a really good take on where the economy is going. You know, if it's our job as teachers to prepare kids for the future, you know, the guests I have on have a really strong opinion and insight on what the future is. So that's, you know, that podcast launched and we're a year old now, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, just to piggyback on that idea, I don't know if you saw it on LinkedIn recently, but FreshBooks did some type of study with about almost 3,000 people. But the critical finding, I think, was that they said, as you mentioned, freelance work in the U.S. is estimated to triple by 2020. And that basically half the people that took that survey that are already doing that type of work have zero intention on ever going back to a job or having a boss. They like it so much more being able to call, yes, their own shots, solve the problems that they find interesting or whatever. And it has some really interesting implications for what we do as educators.
And frankly, you know, the people that they're interviewing, they knew how to find their own opportunities. It was in their best interest. They are not waiting around for an assignment. They're finding the, right, assignment. And that was our driving mission, you know, with the innovation class. It's a complete flip. You know, the first 6 weeks is, you know, understanding mindset, having reframing things, having some fun creativity exercises, taking social media seriously and building brand for each individual student. But beyond that, it's the mindset of, okay, what do you need? And how can I work for you? The students, they don't work for me. I work for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm out there trying to help them in their pursuits, and seeing that a lot of things, and according to Forbes and some of these other places, by 2020, half of the nation's jobs will be freelance. So are we teaching our students how to find opportunities? No, we're teaching them to sit down, shut up, and wait for instructions. And that has no future. And that's a problem.
It's a huge problem. And now I see what I'm doing. My mom, she visited me recently in Belgium, and she reminded me, Danny, do you remember in high school you said you would never work for anybody? Well, it took some time for me to get here. And I do work for people because, like you mentioned with your students, I serve my school leader clients, right? With the problems, challenges they have and the coaching we do, it's all about them and it's totally personalized. But going back to your point, it's, you know, thinking about challenges, problems, thinking about solutions, and really understanding that it's all about service. And if we're serving our kids today and trying to get them prepared for a tomorrow that everywhere you look, people say it's just going to be this completely different place, right? And like you said, the freelance and everything there, how is getting them to sit in rows and be compliant, filling out worksheets or whatever, preparing them for this future that's going to be drastically different?
Yeah. I mean, and it's not. I mean, the funny thing is though, that we have now this catch 22, which, you know, this is where I have to give a disclaimer. I'm now getting emails that sometimes the people I think mean me no harm, but they're like, man, you're coming across pissed off. And I'm like, well, I kind of am. Because there's this catch 22 of having your cake and eating it too. So like, I'll talk to parents and I'm like, hey, you know, this is where the future is going. And then people say, yeah, you shouldn't teach the test. You shouldn't teach the test. It's wrong. And then if their scores go down, they go like, oh my God, what's wrong with my son's school? What's wrong with my daughter's school?
Let's go back to tradition.
Yeah, their test scores went down. I'm like, wait. If you just said test, you know, you can't have it both ways. And this dialogue, this myth that we have, that every kid should get a good SAT score and go to that college. there's a lot of kids that should not go to college. Quit putting that pressure on them. You know, quit having this expectation that all good kids go to college. Some good kids go to coding camps. Some kids go to trade schools. Some kids like take their real estate license and make a ton of money in real estate. Not everything has to be the college route. So our guidance counselors need to hear that. Our parents need to hear that. And yeah, I mean, that's and heck, is one of the reasons why we do the podcast. I mean, I'm not trying to be angry, but a lot of things are up for grabs right now. And that compliance mentality, well, me personally, I'm not going to go political, I promise you. But you know, the majority of the things I see online are people searching the internet to be victims. Who's going to offend me today? Who am I going to be bothered by today? Who am I going to keyboard warrior? No one cares about your politics. No one. But the people that are like, don't even have time for that because they're out changing the world. Like I have yet to see a political comment from Peter Diamandis. I have yet to see a political comment from Naveen Jain, from Tim Ferriss. You don't even know what political party they are. They don't care. They're out to serve their group. They're out there to make a difference, and they don't want to. So while everybody else wants to look to be offended, I want to have that mindset of you can do it, and there are no excuses. You know, just do. Sorry, rant over.
Well, and just, no, I want to add to the rant and then get back to you, but you know, I'm reading the book Thinking Fast and Slow. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but
yep.
You know, so much of this reminds me of some of the things I'm learning there. And just the fact that, I mean, we're primed for these political ideas.
Soundbite moments.
Yeah, yeah, right. And we already know, I mean, Facebook's algorithms have shown us more of stuff that we like, right? Because they're building it for us. But the problem is, and Obama talked about it in the David Letterman. I don't know if you saw that on Netflix. But the interesting thing he brought up is just that today in our society, at least in U.S. culture, we're having these conversations and we can't even agree on what the facts are. So how do we have some sort of argument, debate or whatever when we can look at the same sky and you say it's red, I say it's blue? How are we even going to ever start talking about that?
Well, I think the word conversation is where it's going to be nuanced, and that, you know, we have more of like I always like listening to interviews with His Holiness the Dalai Lama. He'll give answers and say, I don't know. Okay. That it's okay to like admit when you don't know everything. And then secondly, the my side is always right, and then completely overlooking the sins of your political party that they did this 2 years ago.
Exactly.
Like just completely being, oh yeah, well now it doesn't count because now my party's in power. Like both sides are so equally guilty, you know, and I mean really guilty. Like honestly, the most intolerant people I've met in the last 2 years are the ones that are spouting that intolerance is bad. You know, the people that are on the free speech side are now all of a sudden the tolerant ones. I mean, it's been bizarre how college campuses have shut down. Or case in point, all last week, I saw teachers, good people. I'm not passing judgment. They're good people. But they're like, if you support guns in the classroom, unfollow me now. Really? As an educator, that's your opinion? That you're not going to try to dialogue, you're not going to try to have a nuanced conversation. Your answer is, I don't ever want to talk to you again. This is a problem.
Mm.
I think that people can have, back to your point, people can have conversations and people can have their reasons. Like, I don't own a gun. I just don't. I don't want to, but I can understand your point of view on why you do.
Right.
I don't think that you're evil or going to go out and kill a child. I think that you might have your reasons and I will listen patiently to you. But I think that's a dying art form. So, but that's also why I like this kind of classroom setting, this innovation class.
Absolutely. And speaking of classroom settings, speaking of conversations that you want to start, you have this program, Future Ready You. And can you explain a bit what that's all about?
Without trying to watch, well, with watching my language, it's funny. We had an option to go out and interview this guy named Gary Vaynerchuk. And he's very, very opinionated. And he says he drops a lot of F-bombs. And so anyway, the interview went well. And afterwards, he's like, why the F are you trying to change education? They move too effing slow. And I'm like, well, okay, but it's worth saving. He says, let me ask you a question. He says, when you go out and give speeches, how many people come up to you and say, I wish my son or daughter had your class? I'm like, dude, everywhere I go. And he says, and why aren't there more innovation classes all over? I'm like, well, it takes okay, I see your point. He says in the while a school might change their mind and get an innovation class, maybe that comes in the next 3 years. So if you're a junior in high school, you're just effed. He's like, you need to take your class and digitize it and bring it to groups. And then wisely, he says, you know, there's a lot of homeschool cohorts out there that would die for that. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, the way he's like, you teaching an entrepreneurial mindset is really smart. And it was funny because we never thought of that. Started up was, I want to get this class in the schools. Well, funny thing is, when we launched, you know, our future class, then all of a sudden schools were calling us. Turns out that they kind of, some teachers just kind of want to sneak it in. You know, so we started listening to feedback like, hey, if a lot of your lessons could be about 7 to 10 minutes long, my freshman orientation class can take this. So at first we were trying to, I don't want to say the word abandoning schools, but we were making a pivot. You know, started up, we still help schools. That's great. But then all of a sudden we're like, okay, schools don't want what we have. Now we're getting requests to, oh, well, if you're going to teach it, we don't have to. And that makes sense. They're like, we don't have to ask the school board for a new class. This can be micro-dosed, so to speak, in a freshman orientation class or in a senior elective or in things like that. So, you know, if you'd have called me a month ago, I'd have said, yeah, it's a homeschool course. Well, it's not anymore. So, but I will say this, my favorite quote from Reid Hoffman, if you, you know, look back on your first attempt and you're not embarrassed, you waited too long. We did not wait too long. We are making pivots. We are making changes and we're listening to our base. And they are principals usually. Well, you know this. You either have a rock star principal and superintendent and they have a reluctant teacher base, or you have some rock star teachers and they have a reluctant principal or superintendent base.
Yeah.
We're trying to find that like overlapping. So anyway, but yeah, it's a course that it's about 6 to 7 weeks long. And essentially what we do is, well, we digitize our innovation class. We teach the students some reframing. We teach them how to think like an innovator. We teach them some basics of branding, because right now everything is self-branding and students seem to wear that. It's about how to build your network. I think it's our killer app is, if you've seen our podcast, you know what our network is. It's starting to get crazy. And so how do you reach out to people? Because that's the number one thing I'm asked. I get calls. I'm like, how did you get so-and-so on your show?
Right, right.
And teaching students how to do that and teaching them that now is the time. Like as a 45-year-old, like my daughter's podcast is going to surpass mine soon. Why? Because she just turned 17. So when she asked like, hey, her podcast is going to, we were in a car together and we were talking about how Generation Z, their mentors are like Kanye and Kim. Mm-hmm, and she's like, mm-hmm. Generation Z needs better mentors. Mentors with a, dad, I should start a podcast called Mentors with a Z on the end. And it could be about how Generation Z needs to pay attention to these mentors. That girl's going, she's already killing me. She's starting to find guests because people are impressed by her what? By her age.
Yeah.
You know, a 16 year old writes a book. The story is the fact that they're 16, they wrote a book. They write it when they're 30. Okay, you're everybody else. So anyway, that's part of the class, like understanding branding now, understanding that if you take action, understand that if you stand for something, you are ahead of everybody else. If you're a content consumer, you're everybody else. If you're a producer, that's it. I mean, seriously, Danny, like your podcast is, I don't have to ask you. I know that your business has grown exponentially because you have a podcast.
Exactly.
It's your calling. It's your card. It's your business card.
It's why I'm jumping on the, getting on Alexa too. Cause I watch Gary Vee, you know, I want to see what he's doing and what he's talking about.
You got morning briefings coming up?
Yeah. They're releasing March 5th. So
you're beating me to it. All right. Good for you.
Well, if you need somebody to get you set up, I could connect you with who did that for me. But I think mentioned this is released March 9th. So that means the school leadership series has been out for 5 days. And that's all about a land grab, trying to be a category king, trying to serve more people. And here's the thing, like the podcast, you're right. The business side of what I do has grown exponentially. Why? Because of the podcast. And there's still a ton of people that have no freaking idea that I exist. And all my friends that have businesses and have started not only a podcast, but an Alexa skill as well. They've seen huge, 10x or more downloads on their regular podcast because now they're in this new space and they're a part of people's morning routines. And I'm sure you've heard Gary talk about this type of stuff, but I'm excited to see, you know, what this opens up for me, what opportunities come my way. But how cool that story for about your daughter and mentors from an S to a Z. And going back to kind of how we started the show today, seeing a problem, finding the solution, and as a young person saying, why not me? Why not now? And just having the power, you know, the ownership of being able to say that, kudos to you for creating that not only in your classroom, but at your home as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, no, and in my class, I mean, we're kind of on a break right now, but I think there's still some students, the day is pretty much over, but like Sarah and Brady, they have a show called The Humanitarian, and it's bringing the humanity back because they want to have subtle, nuanced conversations about hot topics. And it is stuff like that. And my gosh, I mean, the class is just filled with cool projects, and most of the projects were born out of a pain point. You know, we've got two students that are starting a school in Africa, except they moved there. You know, one of my students one of them graduated in December, and he's in Cape Coast, Ghana right now. And then the one that's still here in the class is running, you know, the nonprofit, because that's a ton of work. And just why? Because they met a guy and they heard about how they had to walk too far and that they weren't, you know, focusing on innovation, entrepreneurship, et cetera, and they did something about it.
It's amazing. This podcast is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators and podcasts by educators. Listen to all the great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. That's edupodcastnetwork.com.
So I want to ask you how you did land those big names. You know, I think I should invest in the course if I want to find out the answer. But what I would like to ask is, you know, have you seen some themes talking to these big time folks? Yeah. What are those themes you've seen?
The themes is that they all learned despite school, and all their characteristics that they picked up on, very little of that can be found in a public school. And that's what bugs me. I mean, like universally, you hate to use hyperbole, all of them learned by failing. They all put themselves out there. I can't say they all did poorly in school, just a lot of them did. But it's almost like it's a broken record. It's the Richard Branson story. Like, we get it at this point. Like, they were odd. They were eccentric. They had a passion. They did it, and they stood out.
Most were dyslexic for some reason.
Yeah, no, seriously, that dyslexia gene has been the entrepreneur gene. It's been weird how that's turned out. But, you know, but they all had a hard work ethic, too. And they were just like, the ultimate failure was never going to happen. They were just going to work through it. And they just kept pivoting. And, you know, that taking risks, well, you're not allowed to take a risk because you could get a B. That failing early so you could figure out what not to do. Well, we think that quitting is bad, that we get hung up on this thing called grit. And don't get me wrong, I think that grit is a part of it somewhat. But if you know that fundamentally things just aren't going to work out, learning quickly to pivot is an asset. And they all had this drive. I don't even like the word passion because it insinuates that passionate things usually fizzle out. They just had this burning desire to, well, in a lot of cases, just crush you. I mean, these guys and ladies are just fiercely competitive, fiercely. I don't know. That's what I've always gravitated towards. I mean, I think the thing is, and especially I took this from Seth Godin, is that you can be an entrepreneur. There's nothing wrong with that. Or that whole, you know, I think Linchpin is such an important book because if you have a 9-to-5, but you think like an entrepreneur, you are the most valued employee at your company, bar none. They will run through walls to make sure that you stay there because you see opportunities and you do something about it. Even though it benefits your company first, like having that mindset is everything. And so interviewing these people for that mindset and that kind of insight has been everything. And then that's found in our course. You know, the core class will always be the mindset. You know, and of course, once you buy the course, then it's a group of these students and these professionals we've interviewed. We'll have weekly, you know, calls and Q&As and stuff like that. But yeah, I dig the way they think. Entrepreneurs just think a different way.
School leadership is hard work. Why should funding student-centered programs be difficult too? If you're stressed about your budget and where you'll find some extra cash to run a great program for kids, I have a solution for you. Introducing the Top 10 School Fundraising Ideas for 2018. In this guide, you will find the best school fundraising ideas available in 2018. My favorite company described in the guide is School Spirit Vending.
School Spirit Vending brings hassle-free fundraising to schools through custom sticker vending machines installed in your school. The best part, you do absolutely no work. The School Spirit Vending team installs, maintains, and shares the revenue collected with the school. You can learn more about School Spirit Vending and the other magnificent companies mentioned in the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com. Go there now, download the top 10 school fundraising ideas for 2018 at schoolzonepodcast.com. In terms of this course we've been talking about last 10, 15 minutes or so, where can people find it?
Yeah, so you can go to futurereadyu, the letter U.com. If you want to know just more about Start It Up, you can go to startedupinnovation.com, the whole Start It Up as we treat education like a startup. Yeah, and of course, I'm really prolific on Twitter, at Don Wetrick.
So if schools, you know, you've seen this, you've experienced it, I have too, right? So slow to change. And so I understand like why, you know, have started up, why have Future Ready U and be a part of the solution. You know, it bothers me, right? Probably just because I'm an educator like you, that talking about these entrepreneurs, these successful people you've connected with, they've succeeded in spite, right, of education. Where's the hope in what we do in public education that to help our kids? Or is it like this whole thing is going to get scrapped and we're going to rebuild it? You know, what do you see in the future there, and how do we prepare there?
So what can we do? I think that you start, in my humble opinion, you start probably as early as grade. I've seen some people do it in first or second. I think that's okay. In grade three, you can start offering more time for innovation time. You can start doing like a genius hour, because that is letting your students know that you are at school to learn things that you have to learn, but there's a part of the day that you can learn things that you want to learn. And I think that that is valuable. And then that way, that kind of transfers over to middle school. I hear teachers all the time say, well, I have to teach the standards. I don't have time. And innovation time can be shared. So if you share it with your science teacher, social studies teacher, et cetera, you can have an innovation day once a month. And then at the high school level, I think that every high school should have an elective. We call it innovation and open source learning, because the first 6 weeks is on innovation and how to think. And then the rest of the year is you open source your learning. Kids that want to learn how to write apps, I connect them with app writers. Students who want to be socially active, we pair them up with social activists, et cetera, et cetera.
Awesome. Well, I think, Don, I want to end here with a question and a quote from Tony Robbins, who's famous for saying that quality questions create a quality life. Successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers. So what's one question school leaders should be asking more frequently right now?
Oh, the simplest of all questions. What is the purpose of your school? If you can look at me and tell me that they're there, there's either two answers, especially at the high school level. You're either there to prepare them for college, or you're there to prepare them for the future. And two are drastically different. Because if you say that we're there to prepare them for college, you are setting them up for academia. Great. Good for you. But look at the data on that. Or you're saying we're there to prepare them for the future. May I challenge each and every superintendent and principal saying, look at the future and what is in demand in the future. And I can promise you, it is not subservience. It is not memorizing things short term. Everything is boiling down to innovation, creativity, collaboration, and entrepreneurialism. Companies are not hiring people to tell them what used to be. They are having them brainstorm on what could be. And kids that just sit around and memorize don't fit that job description. So please ask yourself that question. What is the point of our school?
Well, better leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember, life's 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Danny and Don. Head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Don in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up. You'll get the highlights of today's episode, links to all the resources, and the best way to connect. Don, thanks again for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
My pleasure. I appreciate it.
Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.